This episode is brought to you by Sprout Living. One of our favorite new snacks are Sprout Living's probiotic almonds. Wildly delicious and irresistibly crunchy, these are the perfect gut-healthy balanced snack. Each pack of the sprouted and activated organic almonds contain 10 billion CFUs of probiotics, 6 grams of clean plant protein, and a variety of other superfood spices and herbs that do the body good.
They're made without seed oils, which we all know are out, and the flavors. The Italian truffle is delicious, and the dairy-free cheddar cheese made with turmeric and nutritional yeast always hits the spot. Honestly, we may never have another chip again. Sprout Living also makes our favorite plant-based protein blends. My personal favorite is the coffee flavor.
If you want to try Sprout Living, you can save 20% off your entire order by using code COURAGEOUS at checkout. Visit www.sproutliving.com and use code COURAGEOUS to save 20%. Give them a try and let us know if you love them as much as we do. You can also find the direct links in our show notes. My name is Erica Stein.
And I'm Allie French. And this is a podcast about individual journeys within wellness and how to navigate it all.
After Allie experienced a cancer diagnosis in her 20s,
and Erica went through a self-love journey, we created a platform to interview real people from all walks of life that have combined all types of practices. From physical wellness to emotional and spiritual, we hear courageous stories and focus on why it's important to share them.
We are both certified integrative nutrition health coaches, and together with our community, are learning to live our most purposeful lives by sharing one courageous story at a time.
It takes courage to share these journeys, and by talking about them, we aim to destigmatize the process. We want you to be your own health advocate, feel educated and informed on the latest in health and wellness, and empower you to feel your absolute best.
And because we want to bring forth a wide variety of stories, the opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect our own, but we hope the diverse and varied stories will empower you to make the best choices for your own life. So join us as we and our community share our courageous wellness.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Courageous Wellness. We have a great episode with Kayla Nielsen today, and yeah, we just really enjoyed the conversation with her. So before we get into her formal intro and into our episode with her, we're going to do some weekly updates and just do a little check-in. So Erica, what's going on with you?
What's going on with me? I have a content update and I guess a wellness purchase update because they go hand in hand. So I bought a walking pad, which I love. I love the walking pad. It can only go up to like 3.9 miles. You can't really run on it or, you know, and it doesn't have handles. So it's truly
it's
a walking
fast.
Pad. Yeah. It's a walking pad. And I don't have a standing desk. So what I do is I'll walk and I like to watch TV while I walk. I find it really enjoyable, which leads me to the content update that I'm consuming, which is I'm currently binging Suits, which I feel like everybody has recently binged because it I think broke records on Netflix. Although I'm watching it on Peacock, which you can also watch it on in case you don't have Netflix or don't have Peacock. But I have to say, I am looking forward. It's so interesting how habits change because now I kind of look at Suits as walking time. So I'll be like, it's walking pad time and it's Suits time. I'm on season 6, I think. I think I'm on season 6. And I just want to say, I watched maybe the first season of Suits when it came out. I enjoyed it. I love it. I'm also a Meghan Markle stan. Love Meghan Markle. But I don't know if it's just I haven't binged a show with this many seasons in a while. But at season 6, I almost hate everybody on the show because I've
really
just
funny.
Been so. And it's funny because I have a girlfriend who she watched like all of The Walking Dead. And I remember when she was telling me about it, she's like, I hate this show, but I watched all of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? I don't understand, right? Why didn't you just stop watching it? And I'm like, I'm there with Suits now where I'm 6 seasons in. I think there's 9 seasons and I'm gonna finish it. But because I'm watching it so much, I like every one of the characters is annoying me except maybe 2 of them. And so that's the journey I'm on. But I obviously like, I love it. I hate it. I'm on this journey. I'm going to finish Suits. I have not binged a show like this in so long that I haven't seen, right? Like every fall, I'll like rewatch Vampire Diaries a little or rewatch Gossip Girl or Gilmore Girls. But to watch a show I've never seen before with this many seasons,
it's commitment.
But it's nice because I've habit stacked it with my walking pad. So
there you go.
It helps me get the aggression out as I'm like, this again. Because any show follows the same kind of themes over and over again, right? So it's like the characters make the same mistakes or they get themselves in the same situations.
Right.
And when you're watching like 2 episodes every couple, like it's a lot. But I love it. I hate it. I'm in it. If you watch Suits and want to talk about it,
that's funny.
Into our DMs.
It's funny how it's had like a renaissance because like I don't even remember it being that popular like when it was out, but now like people it's like have gotten super into it.
Yeah, it was the show I watched with my brother. We both watched it together.
That's funny.
And I think it was like 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, at least over a decade
it's
ago.
It's great. And Meghan Markle's so good. I love her. So
are you
I
ready
just
for
love
her,
her
lifestyle brand launch?
I am so I mean, we don't have enough time to talk about American Riviera Orchard.
I've seen some really funny stuff on it. Like hilarious, like people's response and stuff.
I can't wait. Can't wait.
This is not my update, but like talking about like binging old shows. It's on like network TV like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but I will watch an SVU Law and Order rerun like anytime, any day. And then I had this thing was like, why do I enjoy such a dark, like awful kind of storylines and content? But I realize it's because like with Mariska Hargitay leading the way, like it's like safety, like no matter what, like Captain
she'll
Olivia
get you
Benson,
through.
She'll get you through. Anyway, my actual update is that I'm going to Japan, which I'm really excited about. For many of our listeners know that I used to live there and haven't been back since. So I'm very excited to go. It's not going to be a super long trip, but going with my family, and I'm just really looking forward to it. And I'm also attempting to do super light packing. And, you know, actually, we talk a lot about travel in this episode with Kayla, and she's had pretty incredible travel experiences all over the world. But we're all going to do carry-ons so that it's easy to maneuver like around because we're going to go to Tokyo, Kyoto, and take the bullet train and stuff. So just want to make life easy. And now a lot of hotels have laundry. So we're just going to keep it small and keep it light. And I'm excited. I'm going to be there for my birthday, which I'm also really excited about.
Yay, Aries season. I think I've mentioned this before, but I did my whole 2-week honeymoon in Europe with a carry-on.
Really?
I know. I just didn't want to have
a big suitcase.
I didn't want to have a big suitcase. And we did it and it worked and it was great and it was fabulous.
Yeah.
So I have faith in you.
We can do it. It's not, it's like a week and a half. So we'll be fine. So anyway, we do have a really great episode today. Shall we get to it?
Yes, let's get to Kayla's episode.
Okay, so Kayla Nielsen is a teacher, writer, entrepreneur, and yogi. And after starting Glow Yoga Retreats in 2015, she has gone on to teach retreats across the globe. Glow Yoga Retreats is now a Yoga Alliance registered yoga school, and she also trains students around the world, both in person and online. Together with her wife, Kayla owns the retreat center Still Salty Escape in northern Nicaragua.
In this episode, we hear Kayla's incredible personal journey from surviving domestic abuse to finding her passion in yoga and falling in love with life. She offers her own experience about coming home to herself, navigating difficult times, and talks the highs and lows of social media. Enjoy the episode.
Now that I'm in my 30s, taking care of my skin has become a big priority in my life. It is our largest organ, and how we treat it is important for longevity. In the spirit of self-care, today's sponsor, OneSkin, is here to help you simplify your skincare regimen. Founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity, OneSkin proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their topical supplements make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without all the extra steps. The secret, OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent cells, those notorious zombie cells that contribute to skin aging. Fewer zombie cells mean healthier, younger-looking skin with fewer lines and wrinkles, reduced age spots, and a stronger natural barrier, something that's especially important this time of year.
Also, I wanted to mention that I personally love the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It comes with a tinted option as well, so I don't have to worry about sun damage or putting on any makeup when I am on the run because it gives my face such a blended natural look. OneSkin is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code CWPOD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code CWPOD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them that we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin.
Welcome, Kayla. Erica and I are really happy to have you on the show today. Just to get started, can you share with our listeners a little bit about you, your personal background, and how that's led you into all the work that you're doing now?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here to chat with both of you. And a little bit of background on me, I would say probably most people, if they follow me online or are familiar with me online, it's for yoga-related purposes. I've been a yoga teacher for 10 years and have been practicing since I was really young. My mom was actually a teacher, so I started taking her classes when I was 12. So I've been practicing yoga for a long time. It's been in my life. And, you know, yoga and wellness kind of go hand in hand in that sense. So that has also been a big part of my experience and a big part of what I like to offer people in my classes.
Thank you. And I'm curious, so you have such a rich personal journey, right? There's so much that I feel like we can talk about today, but you've battled career change. No, I wouldn't say battled career changes, but you've had career changes, transitions, you know, discovering retreats, right? Battling depression, quitting alcohol. How has yoga really helped you in this self-discovery and this journey that you've been on?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really instrumental part of my life, absolutely. And I will say, you know, sometimes when I say like, oh, my mom is a yoga teacher, I've been practicing since I was 11, people imagine that I was like this little Zen child that was just this little yogi, you know, that was not the case at all. It was very much a physical practice for me for probably at least the first 10 years or so that I was doing it. I was a gymnast. I was always in like very competitive sports. And so, you know, very active, very physical. And yoga was a kind of way to even out some of that high intensity work that I was doing and to also just, you know, enjoy time with my mom. And then as I did become older, it still remained more of a physical activity. It was like, okay, well, this is something that I know I'm familiar with, a way to move my body, but I would take classes at the gym. You know, it was much more physically focused of something that I could do to maintain my body to look or feel a certain way. It was not a spiritual practice for me at all, or even, I know that in some ways, you know, moving your body can help your mental health, of course, but when you're unaware of it, it's not like it doesn't work as well, but that's sort of what it felt like. It was like, it wasn't a mental practice for me, but in hindsight, I could see like, oh, even just having that consistency of going to regular classes, of course, is helpful for your mental health. So it took a long time for yoga to really kind of assist me in the way that it does now. So, going through some of the things that you mentioned, yeah, career changes right off the bat. I went to school to be a teacher, actually, but more of like a classroom teacher. So I have a degree in teaching English specifically. And pretty much like my last year of school, realized I don't want to do this. And now what am I going to do? Because I just went to school for this. And this is truly what I thought I wanted to be my entire life. And so I ended up actually leaving the States and went to travel abroad for the first time. I went to Ghana. It was my first solo trip abroad, and I taught there. I wanted to do something that I could actually use my credentials for, but still kind of like figuring stuff out. And it was really more that experience, travel, that kind of shifted everything for me, that opened up, travel, of course, opens your perspective. And this was in 2010. So travel was also very different back then. I wasn't as connected. I didn't have a smartphone. I went and it was like, okay, I won't talk to my family for 3 months while I'm gone. And that was, you're fully immersed in everything. And so that for me really shifted everything. And at the time, I was still practicing yoga, but kind of, in and out. And it was like, I don't really know. Am I doing it right? Can I lead myself? I had never led myself through a class. But once I started traveling more, because that did kind of open up everything for me, and that became my focus of I want to be a full-time traveler. That's really then when I started experiencing a self-practice more than going to yoga studios, because the places I was traveling to didn't have yoga studios, or there could be a language barrier even if they did. So I really had to lean into my self-practice that way. And also in the next couple of years, and I had two relatively back-to-back near-death experiences that really, of course, a lot of upheaval from that. And both of those really taught me more about kind of the importance of breath and meditation. And that was really what kind of elevated my yoga practice to that next level beyond just physical, where it became more mental, spiritual. And I had a meditation practice that was separate from just Shavasana at the end of the class. So I would say that was really, it was more of that meditation aspect that kind of supported me through all of the twists and turns.
Thank you for sharing that. I know that you share, about your journey that after this time of travel in Ghana and Ken, then you went to Kenya and Indonesia and dealt with some, difficulties along the way and wound up back in the States. But is that when you started your yoga teacher training, when you decided to become like really trained in the practice of yoga?
Yeah, so I first did Indonesia and Ghana. I was gone for about 6 months, and then I came back to the States. I had no money left. I had spent all of the money, that I had from school. So I was like, okay, I need to come back and work. Didn't know what I wanted to do for work or what I could do for work, because like I said, my credentials were to be a teacher. I knew I didn't want to be a teacher. This is also relatively soon after, the financial crisis and everything. So jobs were just difficult at this time. I ended up getting a job at a nonprofit. A lot of the work that I was doing in Africa, of course, there's a lot of nonprofit work around there. I was teaching, so I wasn't in a nonprofit, but it was all around me, and I was really interested in it. So I started working at a nonprofit. It's the only office job I've ever had. I lasted for about 6 months. I learned a lot, but it was also challenging because I was still living paycheck to paycheck. And really, my goal of going back was to make as much money as I could so that I could leave again. So I then decided to become a bartender and a nanny. So I was a bartender at night, nannied during the day, made a ton of money doing that. I was like, glad I have a degree. Great. But it was also, it was actually really helpful. I think bartending and nannying both, they give you a lot in the service industry. It teaches you so much about literally any other kind of work that you do. So I was able to save a lot of money. And then my plan was to leave at that point indefinitely. And then in that time that I came back to the States, I ended up in a relationship that turned out to be an abusive relationship. I was in that for about a year and a half, and it ended very explosively on my birthday. And that was one of the near-death experiences, so very bad. And the neighbors saw, called the cops. I ended up in the hospital. He was arrested. And because of that, then there was a trial that ensued after because he was arrested. So the state of California was pressing charges against him. And I was subpoenaed as the main witness because, I was the person that had experienced it. So all of my, dreams of travel and stuff kind of went out the window. And we were able to essentially push the trial and everything out. We also thought like maybe he was going to settle. It ended up going to a full jury trial. But so I was able to still leave for about 6 months, not as long as I wanted to, and work again. So I taught in Kenya and Uganda, and then I just did like some backpacking travel around Asia, but I had to come back for that court case. So I was gone for 6 months, had the best experience, and just felt so, after that experience, I had a lot of healing physically. I had physical injuries. I was in physical therapy for 3 months. And then I also, of course, had a lot of PTSD, severe anxiety, depression, like really hard time sleeping, all of that kind of stuff. And didn't necessarily, this was, I think, 2012. So even just the talk of therapy and everything that we see nowadays wasn't really the same. I definitely didn't have the mental help that I needed, realizing this more in hindsight. I had a ton of support from my friends and family, but I'm also very headstrong. So I think it was kind of like, I'm fine, I'm fine. And for me, travel again was that in a way. I was able to physically remove myself from it and, broaden my perspective again, and service for me is really helpful in my healing. So it's like going and being able to help other people and see other people's struggles. It just kind of puts mine in perspective. And so I had this really, healing experience abroad. Then I have to come back and I'm in this trial now for 2 weeks. And it was horrible. There's a reason why they say domestic violence or victims don't ever like to press charges because it re-traumatizes you all over again. You'll sit on a stand and have someone, try to pick holes in your story and make it seem like you're crazy, you're a liar, everything. I was really glad that I had that travel experience before so that I was able, I just felt a little bit stronger going into it. He ended up getting off of everything, found not guilty of everything. So that was another huge, just like, what? Because in there was a lot of course, like social stuff that was going on too, friends not knowing whose side to choose. And, I, in my mind and in my heart, I thought, once people see the verdict of this is going to a full jury trial, they'll finally believe me. And of course, this just now made me seem like a liar, like I was crazy. So it really kind of kicked me into a depression at that point. And I ended up being able to leave again. So my dad had this kind of talk with me. It was not that long after. It was maybe 2 weeks, and we were going for a walk, and he just said, I know you're really sad about this, but the longer that you stay sad and in this kind of like wallowing state, the more you're giving your power to this person. When even though it's not the outcome that we wanted, we obviously wanted a different outcome. Like, you're still free from this now. It's over. You don't have to come back and do these trials. You don't have to talk to all of these lawyers anymore. Like, it's over. So you can go and do whatever you want to do now. Like, you don't have to feel constrained by this. And I was like, yeah, I can do what I want to do. And what I really wanted to do was start my own nonprofit at the time. So that's what I did. And I bought a one-way ticket to Kenya. That's when I started my nonprofit. And I used to do solar projects. So I started that then. And I ended up being able to stay away for about 2 years that time. Kind of the same thing until I ran out of money. And then I came back. And at that point that I came back, I was again not wanting to come back at all. It was really just a financial thing. I felt like, oh, I have to come back to the States to make money. At this point, a lot of time had passed. I was in a very different place than my friends, even though I was still close with my friends at home. Now we're at the age, it was like 26 or so. So very different. I had experienced very different things. We were living very different lives. I had a hard time assimilating back to the States after that. And that was when I did my yoga teacher training.
Wow.
So, long-winded answer, but that was when I did my yoga teacher training.
No, thank you for sharing all of that. I think, First of all, thank you so much for sharing so openly about what you experienced in, with domestic violence as well. I know there are people in my family who are much older who have dealt with it, and friends, and it's not uncommon, but it's not something people always share about because I think there can be a lot of shame. Like you said, people don't always believe you. And then also, as you mentioned, it can lead to a lot of PTSD and depression that can impact, right, every single area of your life beyond just your romantic relationships. And so, I'm curious too, because I love what you also said about service, right? Like supporting others became such a part of your healing. And I know you also eventually gave up drinking as well. And I know that's so popular right now too. A lot of people are reevaluating their relationships with alcohol, and just, the sober curious movement is so incredible. And so I'm just curious if you could maybe share with our listeners too, because be it that they're going through, be it domestic violence or abusive relationships or just depression and transition, which I think a lot of people are experiencing depression like no other, especially in 2024, after the last 4 years we've experienced. How were you able to move through that? Because you're such a light. You have, retreats now. You're like your whole life is just so incredible and inspirational. And so I'm curious for anybody listening who might be in the thick of that kind of, depression or PTSD or hard moment, how did you find yourself able to move through that to get to where you are now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I will say that I still experience depression frequently. Like, I am someone that is still very prone to depression. I think the difference is just the more that I have deepened my relationship with myself, I'm able to feel like the very early signs of it. So before you're like fully off the edge into the deep end of it, it's like, ooh, something I can kind of feel it earlier on, so I can catch it earlier and treat it earlier, as opposed to when you are in that deep, dense place that feels like, how am I going to climb out of this? So that has really just come from definitely therapy, and just a lot of introspection, meditation, work on myself, things like that have been, I think it's just really like getting to know myself better. And everyone experiences the world in a different way. For me, it still is very physical. Like, I'm a very body type person, so it'll be very physical signs for me. It can literally be a pain that I will feel in a certain part of my body. I'm like, ooh, I know that it's like an early sign of a depression or this heaviness kind of feeling. Other people, of course, will feel it in different ways, but I think a huge part of it was just getting to know myself better. And again, travel was huge for that, especially at that time, because you are so disconnected. You're not able to just be, there was no internet, you had to go to an internet cafe, and that was dial-up internet. So you would maybe be connected to the outside world, in these very small moments of the week, but that I had a lot of alone time and a lot of like true disconnection in that way, which I think really taught me a lot about myself and my own capacity too. For other people know when you travel, you're nothing ever goes to plan. The train is late, the bus is full, whatever. There's always stuff that comes up, and you really have to just be okay with that. Okay, what can I do next? Become very solution oriented. It helps you build a lot of confidence too. I think that was huge. It's just knowing that I'm here by myself. No one knows like exactly where I am, so I have to figure out what to do. And it really helped me build a lot of confidence. But I think just having a lot of alone time that way was huge, just so that I could get to know myself and those little cues a little bit more. But I'm definitely someone that still experiences depression. Like, I recently just came out of a depression. So I think it is important, people see that in teachers, whether it's a yoga teacher or whatever, someone who has a large following, someone they admire online, they're still going through their stuff. They're not perfect. They do not have it all together. I can promise you that.
So my life has recently changed, and this is for real entirely. Erica has been on me to get an air doctor for years, and I finally got one this past week. And within minutes, no joke, I noticed the quality of the air in my bedroom felt different. And my husband noticed it too. And after sleeping with it for one night, I woke up the next morning with zero congestion for the first time in memory. Also, I had had an air filter in my room, but AirDoctor is like completely on a different level.
It is on a different level. And when I found out that AirDoctor was a new sponsor of the Courageous Wellness podcast, I was so excited. I have two in my home, and I have been telling Allie for literal years to get one. And all of my friends and family have one in their home. My mom is actually who originally introduced me to AirDoctor. So I'm so excited about today's sponsor. We know that Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors and take about 20,000 breaths a day. The indoor air that we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, up to 100 times more polluted, according to the EPA. And did you know that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths globally? So my solution is AirDoctor. AirDoctor is an air purifier that captured the attention of established media outlets such as CNN, Money, ABC, and more. AirDoctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses that make you sick.
I really can't say enough good things about it, and I'm honestly have had a life-changing experience. And AirDoctor also comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee, so that if you don't love it the way I love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. So you can head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code CWPOD, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Unlock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code CWPOD. Thank you for, being so transparent about that. And also, gosh, you said two things. Well, two things I want to kind of comment on, one a question, but the first is I think we're all a kind of similar ages. I might be a couple years older, but really relating to, gosh, that time where we were able to have more alone time in this, or less connectivity from a digital perspective. And I don't think I really ever, like, till now, have fully appreciated that part of, I'm going to say our, because we're all sort of in that same sort of millennial generation, and that, having appreciation for getting to be born in a time and still getting to experience young adulthood in a time where there was like more forced autonomy, or building through travel, or building through kind of life experience, that confidence, and through trial and error, that confidence. And sometimes I go back, I grew up part of my time in New York City, and sometimes I go back now after having not lived there for 15 years. And, I can tell, like, on my Google Maps, I can tell you exactly when the next train is coming. But when I was like a teen in an early 20 something, I didn't have a smartphone navigating the city. I just like knew how to get around. And it's fascinating to me, like, oh yeah, like there's nowhere telling me where to go. I just like figured it out. And just that kind of like getting the opportunity to get to like rely on ourselves in that way in that particular time of development, I now have like appreciation for, and the way you spoke about it too, it helped me like have that moment of appreciation. And I guess my part two to that is like you have grown an incredibly large community in the digital space, and I'm curious, A, like maybe how, if you could speak to how that sort of happened over time, but also what your perspective and what you've learned about even yourself or your relationship with digital platforms, social media, if you wouldn't mind. I think you probably have a unique perspective in the way that you could speak to that too over the years of building this community.
Yeah, definitely. I love what you said too about the New York City thing, because I think that the directions piece is like, that's, the MapQuest of it all, like printing out directions. And or just also, it's not just relying on yourself, it's also having to talk to other people, going up and being like, hey, how do I, like people don't do that now. Everyone has their AirPods in and or their phone. But before, you had to interact more with people. And you would, I mean, I don't even, New York City terrifies me to navigate. So I don't know how you, that's like being in a foreign country for me. But I definitely felt that traveling too, where you have to, you also have to learn a little bit of the language to be able to ask people for directions. And otherwise, it's like you're not gonna have anywhere to sleep tonight. So you have to figure it out. So yeah, I love that. And I think with the social media part of it, kind of similar in the sense, I think people who started on Instagram earlier on, before there was the word influencer, that was like not a thing. And people didn't know exactly what they were doing. Maybe some people who went in who were on a reality show or who had a blog or had some sort of presence already kind of knew what it was like to have partnerships. But I think for a lot of people like myself, you didn't really know exactly what you were doing. There wasn't really the strategy of, okay, I'm going to build this for this reason. Mine was a little bit different in the sense that, like I said, I started my nonprofit. I did it for 2 years. And then it was a series of things happened that kind of made me feel like it fell apart. I couldn't do it anymore. The second near-death experience I had was in Africa. I got African tick bite fever, got very sick from it. And that was a whole separate thing. And it became clear that I couldn't live in a lot of the areas that I wanted to live in because of these anaphylactic reactions to different insects that I was getting. And so I felt like I can't do this nonprofit because I physically have to be there. And so it kind of turned into this failure for me. And then when I went through my teacher training, it sort of woke up. It just opened my mind again of like, oh, okay, I can do it in a different way. I don't have to live there. And just started thinking of how I could do it in a way other than that set way that I thought I needed to do it. And so I filed to become a 501c3 nonprofit, which in the States means that it's federally recognized. So if people write donations to you, they can then write them off during taxes. So it's definitely, you want to try to be a 501c3 so that you can get larger grants or larger donations from people. And at the time, you used to be able to expedite that application to where if you paid for the expedited process, then you could get that returned faster than waiting in line. And then the turn of the year happened and they revoked that expediting option. So they said everyone has to wait in line. So I had already a solar project planned in April. This was now the turn of the year, so January, and I needed $40,000 for it. And I had had promised grants from solar companies in the States. They said, as soon as you get that 501c3 number, we will pay for the whole project. And I was really planning on going that more corporate route because that was what I had learned from nonprofits before. And then all of a sudden, it was like, you have to wait in line, and the line is a year long. So I was like, how am I going to raise $40,000? Well, I just became a yoga teacher. I am going to start teaching classes in the park. So I started teaching donation classes in the park, and I tried to do them in a way it was a little bit more of an event, like asking people, asking brands to donate leggings or mats or whatever. So we would also have a raffle. And because it was all nonprofit, people donated more than just like a standard, class in the park. And I would be making like $400 a class. And I was like, this is really good. And so I was also starting to use Instagram at that time more for yoga, like connecting with other yoga people, very personal size account, maybe like 800 followers, And so I thought, well, what if a lot of people did classes in their parks? If I'm making $400, and a big part of yoga philosophy is called seva, which is selfless service. So it's not entirely out of the world to ask a yoga teacher, hey, do you want to donate an hour of your time to teach this class? This is what it's going towards. So I just started reaching out to people on Instagram. I did not know them, but at the time, I think this is like 2014, it was also, the internet was a safer place. And it was when you had your little niche communities on Instagram or whatever platform you were using, it just felt smaller and more like, oh yeah, you really wanted to connect with people. It felt safer in that way. And so I reached out to teachers, told them, and we ended up over 2 weekends having teachers all over the world. There ended up being about, I think, 60 to 70, I'm not sure, who all taught classes. We ended up raising all the money from yoga classes. And so at the time, my network is just growing, but it's naturally from this. And I was realizing that if I'm posting about my nonprofit stuff, it's really exciting for me, but people's eyes kind of glaze over. They're like not into solar and finance and all of that stuff. And so when I posted yoga stuff, people were like, "Ooh, that's pretty. Oh, you can do the splits. I want to learn that." So I was really seeing like, okay, I can use yoga and being a yoga teacher to fund the thing that I'm really passionate about, which was my nonprofit. That was that service part. So the more people that are coming to my account that see me, then the more people that might end up donating to these future projects via yoga. And so I went to Ethiopia, did the solar project. It was great, but then I'm starting at zero again, you know? So the next project, 40,000. And I was like, okay. It was awesome, you know, having that many teachers be involved, but also a headache managing that many people and like, hey, did you send your money in? And, you know, a lot of back and forth. So I was like, what else could I do that could raise more money, but with less management and maybe in a shorter period of time? And that's when I had the idea for a retreat. So that's when I did my first retreat. And it was just kind of like a one-off, a fundraiser. And I had at that point, I've been teaching less than a year. So, and I had never been on a yoga retreat. So I was like, okay, I don't know again what I'm doing, but I'm just going to plan it the way that I would want a yoga retreat to be. And I collaborated with two other teachers. One had a pretty big following as well. So that was really helpful. And between the three of us, we were able to fill it. And because it again was totally nonprofit, they donated their time, which was really generous. And, you know, I had friends that came and cooked, and like it was all just kind of like scrapped together a little bit more. And after I did the first retreat, it was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And at this point, now it's almost been that year mark where I am now 501c3. So I can now go the corporate route. But I was like, but this is so much better. You know, I'm like bringing together these two things that I love, which are yoga and the nonprofit work. So that was really my focus of growing my account at that time was, okay, the more people that come to my account, then the more likely they might come on retreats. And the retreat ended up being its own business. It just kind of grew into its own entity, but that was never the intention. And same with my page. I didn't know it was going to do what it did, but I knew I wanted to grow it, but it was really for, okay, because the more people that are here will then kind of funnel to there. And then it ended up being its whole own beast.
I love your journey too, because it really shows, right? Like relying on yourself, service, flexibility, which I think I could talk about the importance of being flexible forever. I think it's so important, especially in resiliency, but I'm not going to go off on a tangent on flexibility, but I hear it throughout your whole story and journey, and even following, right, this through line of mission that was so deeply inside of you. And how cool, right, that like retreats is and became such a big part of your career when travel was so important to this self-discovery and transformation that you had, right, through depression and everything. It's just so beautiful. And I'm curious too, because I think we focus on like that joyous side of the social media, but I know right in 2020, as part of your journey, you came out on social media, and when you ended up getting married, you lost followers from
Oh,
that
yeah.
experience, right? And so I'm curious what that experience was also like for you, and how you really kind of. And again, I think it's so cool now. I mean, as Ali mentioned, we're all millennials. And I think what's so awesome about Gen Z is it seems to be changing, right? Like everybody's out, right? Like they don't have to come
Everyone's
out
a little
anymore. It's just
gay.
like everybody's gay and everybody, right? It's just like everybody's out. It's just I really admire, and I'm sure that's very much on the coasts. I know that's not like that everywhere, but my friends have children who are in middle school or, and they're already out, and that just was never the case when I was growing up. And so I'm curious what that experience was like for you, and even just that rectifying of losing followers for something so beautiful and personal in your life.
This episode is brought to you by Mind Happy. We all spend way too much time in front of our screens. I know I do. And I find myself craving creative yet restful analog activity. I never thought I would long for the downtime of my childhood in the 90s making friendship bracelets at summer camp. This is why we were so excited when we discovered Mind Happy. Mind Happy is a lifestyle and wellness brand centered on thoughtful creativity to help people craft fulfilling moments, connections, and self-care rituals through purposeful play. Mind Happy provides curated monthly deliveries that promote phone-free activities like knitting, coloring, and crafting. Each delivery provides everything you need to explore new hobbies, promote mindfulness, and foster togetherness. They believe that play is one of the most effective ways to relax and re-energize in our daily lives.
Mind Happy's founder is an ex-Amazon executive who leveraged similar activities to alleviate her own burnout. It takes a creative approach to mental health through psychology-backed activities, sparking everyday inspiration and joy, and all activities are selected based on science, restoring mental clarity, energizing connections, reducing anxiety, and facilitating fulfilling moments. Think of it as a curated monthly self-care delivered to your door. We also love that products from each box are primarily sourced from small women-owned businesses, and they can be tailored towards individual discovery or shared group activities, perfect for a small dinner party. For 15% off your first month subscription, go to mindhappy.com. That's mindhappy.com and use code COURAGE15 at checkout.
Yeah, that was, oh man, what a wild time. I will say that overall my experience online has been very positive. And for, I don't know if it's because of the kind of niche that I'm in, but I don't get a lot of like negative comments and a lot of that stuff that I think some people with really large platforms face. I don't get a lot of that, which is great. So that I would say was probably the worst. It was before I was married too, but just coming out of being in a relationship with a woman and, you know, still didn't get a ton, just to be clear, you know, majority were very positive, very happy, but it still happens now where when I post a picture or something on my actual feed of me and my wife, I'll always lose at least 1,000 followers, like still, and this has been now 4 years. So it's just funny because it's like, it's not even about the followers or the numbers or any of that. It's more just, okay, you came here because probably for yoga, realistically, you probably came here for yoga. You might even take my classes already, you know, somewhere online. At the time, there was one person who canceled their retreat with me because they didn't feel comfortable coming on the retreat anymore. So it's like, you obviously, you know, you want to learn from me. Maybe you already have been learning from me, but now just because of who I'm in a relationship with, you now anything I say is bad, you know, or you don't even want to hear it when it's not related. It's not like I'm trying to convert you to gayness in my classes or something, you know, like that's what it feels like. It's like you almost feel like a predator in some ways where people think like, oh, now you have this different personality or this different way of being. But it's like, if anything, I'm just more myself than ever before. And yeah, so it's less for me about the followers and the numbers in that sense. It's just more, it's kind of wild to think like, wow, you liked me enough to press the follow button and to possibly even invest in me at some point, you know, sign up for retreats or courses or whatever. And now just because of who I'm in a relationship with, that is no more. So yeah, it really didn't affect my mental health in relation to social media. Because my 2019 was sort of my big like dark night of the soul moment where I was already just really reevaluating so many things, including my relationship with social media. And that was really when I had started taking more space from it. So I think because of that, that probably helped. And now I'm in a place with social media where it's like, no matter what, on the weekends, I do not go online. And it's like, it's nice. By Friday, I'm like, throw the phone. I'm good. Before it was almost hard. You get that like phantom thumb where you don't even realize it and you open it and you're like, what is happening? I didn't even want to do this. And now it's so nice. So I have really strong boundaries with it. You know, I don't start until a certain point in my day. I'm never on it after a certain point in my day. Like it's just, I feel, you know, it's like really my place to work. Sometimes it can be a little sad because it is less of that place of connection, you know, that I was mentioning in 2014, and things have shifted. But I think my relationship with it is very healthy. While it still can be, it can be tolling sometimes because it's never ending. It's always awake, it's always alive. So it will always want more of you. The algorithm changes, you know, those things will affect you. And I think it's just having to establish worth and knowing yourself and confidence in other areas so that those things don't affect you as much.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's good advice for anybody who may be grappling with their own relationship with it too. And I'm not an influencer by any means, but I grapple with it just even like with personal, use of it sometimes, not even let alone our professional use or, I even kind of help my husband's like professional presence is online presence as well. And it's just like sometimes it's just like such a drag, to be honest. And so really evaluating, just like being, obviously there's benefit to it as well. And but just I think the way you explain it, just really having an awareness around it and around our own behaviors and what's healthy for us as individuals, which may be different for everybody, but to like be able to be honest about that with ourselves, I think something that I'm definitely striving to do, and I think can only help. As you said, it's an ongoing thing, and something that's like relatively new to the human experience in the last decade or so.
And it is, you know, professionally, it's not going anywhere. It is a tool that we do need for if you're going to start a business, no matter how big or small. But it's so important that you really do prioritize your mental health and relationship to it, because even before social media, I would go in these really big cycles of burnout. Like I go so hard and then I crash so hard. And my mom or my doctors or whoever would always tell me, you know, like, you have to find more balance because you also won't be able to be in service to people or do what you want to do if your burnout period is so deep and so extreme. And you know, I think that is also what has helped. I luckily went through that at a younger age, so by the time social media was more prevalent in my life, I could see those same cycles happening there. And it's really not worth it. It's not always going to be fun, but for the most part, I do have fun creating content. I'm creative. I like the visual. I like that expression and everything. It's not always going to be fun and perfect, but if you're someone that's like, I hate this, this is not the way my brain works, I would just really consider hiring out. Like, you can hire out for pretty affordable prices. You can hire a Gen Z person that can make a reel in 30 seconds, you know? Like, so I know it sounds like a big expense, but when it comes to your mental health, it's like it is worth it. And then you'll have energy for the things that you actually are excited about in your business. And yeah, it makes such a big difference. So it's just being able to be honest with yourself about that and like, what are your skills? What are your natural interests? And if it's not that, outsource it.
Thank you so much. So I feel like we could chat with you for another half hour plus, but as we begin to wrap up, we ask our guests three wrap-up questions. And I'm curious, like at this season in your life, how do you practice self-care? What does your daily practice look like? And do you have any non-negotiables in that?
Oh yeah, I got a lot. So I would say my mornings for sure, mornings and evenings. But morning, wake up, like I said, I'll never go on social media. I don't have a set time for when I go on social media. It's more like after I've done certain things. So wake up, I always do a gratitude journal in the morning, and then, you know, like just even small things. I put sunscreen on right away, but like do it with a little facial massage, like a 30-second feel good, that just kind of like self-care, self-loving touch even. And then I pretty much move almost right away. Usually it's just taking my dog for a walk. I like to do movement outside, get fresh air, you know, something gentle. Same thing with the way that I will feed myself in the morning, you know, or throughout the day, but definitely in the morning, it's like the first thing I put in. It's like I just want it to be exactly what I want, really good, but also good for me. And once I have fully kind of done all of that, then I'm like, okay, now I'm on the phone. Now I'm in the work mode. And, you know, I am lucky and privileged to have that flexibility in my schedule to be able to do that and make my own schedule. And I know not everyone has that, but even just having, a really short morning routine, it could be 5 minutes of, small things. Like I'll always have my water by my bed before I go to sleep, so it's there in the morning, like little things to make my life a little bit easier. But I would say definitely the way that I move my body and the way that I feed my body are my biggest, and then always time for meditation. And I usually prefer that more actually at night when the red light's on, put like a red light mask on, cozy. Like I like that darkness. It helps me sleep so much better. So movement and stillness, I would say, are non-negotiables.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm curious too, this isn't our next official question, but what is your astrological sign? And if you know your big three, please share them, but I'm just
Oh,
so
yeah.
curious.
So I'm a Taurus sun, Pisces moon, Aquarius rising.
Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense to me. Oh my gosh. I'm an Aquarius moon, so I
Oh,
love that. I love an Aquarius.
yes.
The next official question we ask is, what does being courageous mean to you?
Oh, I think for me right now, and this answer probably fluctuates over time, but right now, I think being courageous is really about being vulnerable, like real vulnerability, real connections with people. And that's something that's always kind of a work in progress for me.
Thanks. And then the final one is, do you have a book recommendation for our listeners? It can be truly on any topic. It could be a novel that you liked, just something that's meant something to you throughout your journey.
Yeah. Okay. So, oh, I got a lot too, because again, I was an English major, but
Yeah, that's true.
since we were kind of on the topic of yoga, and even if you're not a yoga person, one of my favorite yoga books is called The Path of the Yoga Sutras. It's by Nikolai Bachmann, and it really explains more of like yoga philosophy, but in a very digestible, it's not dense, and it will have these little like practicums or journal prompts and things, so it's a little bit more interactive. And it really explains yoga philosophy so beautifully in a very digestible way, whether you are into yoga or not. So even if you, it's kind of can be a little self-helpy, that anything that you're just interested in deepening your relationship with yourself, I think that's like one of my favorite books. It's so good.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And so, if anybody wants to find you, follow you, do one of your retreats, where can they do all of that?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram, Kaylala Nielsen, and the link in the bio there will have everything. My website is the same, Kaylala Nielsen. You'll see my retreats, my trainings, courses, all of that kind of stuff. That's really the hub. You'll be able to find anything you need from me there.
Thank you so much, and thanks for joining us today. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Courageous Wellness. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode featuring a different guest each week.
Subscribe, rate, and write us a nice review. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Courageous Wellness or get in touch via our website, www.courageouswellness.net, where you can also find additional info about our health coaching services, virtual group events, newsletter, and more.
Until next week, I'm Allie.
And I'm Erica, and we're Courageous Wellness.